Good morning. It's Jennifer. I'm going to be hanging out with you for a little bit this morning. You just heard Breathe Into Me, and this is Yes FM. You are turning in to our Positive Chats podcast this morning. I'm going to be taking my turn and doing a podcast with you this morning. And this morning, we have Patrick Morley. Good morning, Patrick. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Jennifer. Thank you. Welcome. To you as well. It's good to be with you.
Good. We are so glad that you are with us this morning. I just want to read something real quick, and then we're going to jump in and ask you some questions this morning. Dr. Tony Evans said about Patrick that he has done it again. The Four Voices book will equip you to make sense of the voices in your head. Best of all, it's totally based on scripture. I recommend that you read it, absorb it, let it renew your mind. This book will help you get on top of the thoughts that you have been trying to get on top of you. So tell us a little bit more about yourself and the Four Voices, if you would.
Well, first of all, as I say, it is an honor to be with you and to be with all of your friends and guests. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And so, yeah, my name's Pat Morley. I'm a broken down real estate developer from down here in Central Florida. But since 1991, I've been working with men as my vocation full time. I started a Bible study in a bar in 1986 and just kind of took off from there. I wrote a book in 1989 called The Man in the Mirror based on the things that I'd been learning. And then I left and started Man in the Mirror, which is really, it's an international ministry. We've worked with 35,000 churches around the world, helping them to disciple men more effectively, millions of men. And so anyway, yeah, that's us. You can find more out about how to bring men's discipleship more effectively to your church, you know, through our ministry, Man in the Mirror, maninthemirror.org. Anyway, and so, yeah, that's about it.
All
I'm
right.
Married. I do have a wife, one wife for 49 years. That's pretty
wonderful.
Cool.
Congratulations. Tell us about the Four Voices. What are they, and how do we try to wrap our mind around them, and how do we control them?
Yeah, let me give you the arc of the book. So when I write a book, I'm always trying to help, and I write books for men. This is a book, women can read it too, of course. But when I write a book, I'm thinking about, okay, what is the obstacle to faith that we want to try to resolve? And so here's the arc of this book. We all know that we have a running conversation with ourselves all day long. We call it self-talk. And of course, we need self-talk. Self-talk helps us organize the different bits and pieces of our lives into some kind of a coherent story that helps us to make sense of things. And so we need that. Here's the issue. Listeners, you and I, we are not the only voice in that conversation. There are four other voices that are also constantly exerting themselves to influence what we think, say, and do. Those four voices are the world, the flesh, the devil, and the Holy Spirit. And our job is to figure out which voice is speaking at any particular moment and then to take control of the conversation. And so since, you know, you wake up at 2 o'clock and you have these incredibly devious or malicious or negative thoughts, and so where's that voice coming from? And then, you know, how do you take control of the conversation? So what I wanted to do, Jennifer, is I wanted to write a book to help people understand what's going on up there and then to take control.
Yes. Help. Yes. This summer I was actually sitting in on a sermon series of one of my friends, actually, who is a licensed therapist, counselor in the professional world. And she said, it's so hard to take captive our thoughts and to just have an out of brain kind of moment. How can you do that? How would you explain that to our listeners that we have to take captive what those thoughts are?
Yeah. Okay. So anybody that's read this is my 22nd book. Anyone who's been reading my books knows that I like to be very careful to make sure we're trying to solve the wrong problem. So my books do take, you know, 10 or 20% of the time to focus on helping to really understand the problem, but 80% of my books are about solutions. And so in this book, I've got 27 different practical applications or strategies, you know, to help take control of this conversation. But ultimately, what we're trying to do is we're trying to figure out how to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. So most of this book is really about how to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. I'd say about half of the book, or the voice of the Holy Spirit, if you will. Mm-hmm. And so, I've got a friend, you know, like, for example, one day I was here at my desk. My wife had asked me to make some copies. She was doing some work as the executor of her father's estate. She wasn't home, but I went ahead and made the photocopies. And as I was walking downstairs, I noticed that the printer had cut off about 2 or 3 inches on each of the 20 pages. And so all the work that I'd done was useless. And Jennifer, I'm a little embarrassed to say this, but I mean, I completely lost it.
No, I can agree with you. I would hate that. I hate it when it happens to me.
Well, I was screaming, I was cursing, and I was just in a rage about this. And I said, what in the world is going on? And so I had, at that time, I was mentoring, coaching, spiritually fathering a younger guy. And so we met the next morning, and we had about 10 minutes at the end. And I said, hey, Daniel, and I'm having lunch with him today, by the way. I said to Daniel, can I kind of just tell you what's going on with my life? And so I was able to explain to him what was going on and unburden some of the pressures that I've been under. And just the idea of being able to talk to another human being, a mm-hmm. real person, mm-hmm. is one of the most powerful strategies for helping to understand the voices that are in our heads. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. What are some of the issues of the world that distract us the most?
Yeah, so it's interesting. We all know the big chunky things, but let me give you an example that I think is a little bit more subtle, but is so practical, so useful. So when I, and this is with regard to the voice of the world, right? Mm-hmm. When I came out of college, I knew kind of what I wanted to do. I wanted to go into commercial real estate. I knew the company I wanted to go to work with, or thought I did. So I got an appointment. I was able to get an appointment with the owner of the company. And towards the end, he said, well, you know, I think you've got a lot of potential, but the problem is, you don't have enough gray hair. You're too young. Nobody's going to pay any attention to mm-hmm. you. So that was the voice of the world saying, you're too young to make a difference. Mm-hmm. But then I have older guys tell me all the time, Jennifer, you're not useful anymore. We don't need you. You had your chance. Mm-hmm. Now it's somebody else's turn. And so that's the voice of the world telling older people.
Yeah.
That we don't need you anymore. So watch this. The voice of the world is going to tell you, it doesn't make any difference if you're young or you're old. You can't make a difference. Mm-hmm. But the Bible gives a very different report. We know that all 12 of the disciples were in their 20s. Jesus did his greatest work in his early 30s. David was the king of armies in his 20s and became the king at 30. Joseph became the ruler of Egypt at the age of 30. So biblically, if you're young, you can make a difference. And then on the other end, we know that Sarah and Abraham and Moses and Paul, they all played their best music in the last one third of their lives.
Right.
So the Bible says it doesn't make a difference if you're young or you're old. You can always make a difference. And that's just one of the subtle ways that the voice of the world creeps into our lives. And that's why I wanted to write this book, is to give readers an opportunity to kind of sort out how to distinguish between these voices. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. So another voice that I want to ask you about, you said there's one that is just the devil whispering things into your mind. How closely tied is that voice to the world, and how do we distinguish the two?
So each of these voices, and I've got a Venn diagram in the book to kind of show just how they overlap. I mean, they're always talking over each other, right? These three negative voices, the world, the flesh, and the devil. So, I mean, it would be nice if one of these voices would raise their hand and clear their throat and say, ahem, could I say something now? But that's not how they do it, right? They're just constantly talking. So what I've done is I've said, okay, I want each of you voices to go into your corner and be quiet. I'm going to talk about you, and so that people can understand you individually, and then what to do about your particular voice. So the voice of the devil, you know, is everywhere. But here's how the voice of the devil works. Basically, the devil's trying to destroy what God is trying to build, right? Mm-hmm. But the devil doesn't have nearly as much power as many people think. The Bible says greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And there are two distinct narratives in the Bible about the devil. Two narratives. The first narrative is the one where we get to make fun of the devil because he's basically a defeated foe, a washed up angel, basically a washed up angel with a lot of nicknames. He's kind of like the cussing parrot that sits on your shoulder. Mm-hmm. All you really have to do is just to tell him to shut up. So, you know, that's the first narrative. The second narrative, though, is that he is the CEO of sin. Mm-hmm. And the Bible says that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. And so, but when we're in Christ, then of course we're under the control of the Holy Spirit, but we do have this conflict. And so the devil will be whispering in our ear, or shouting, you know, shouting in our brains in the middle of the night sometimes as well. But the point of it is that we have the power through the Holy Spirit to, I remember, I think it was Billy Graham, it could have been somebody else, but I think it was Billy Graham in a crusade. I heard him say that you can say to the devil, Satan, I rebuke you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's mm-hmm. all that's needed. And so you can sort of flick him off your shoulder if you hear his voice mm-hmm. through the power of the Holy Spirit. Make sense?
Yeah, definitely. In fact, this morning on my way to work, there's something going on in my immediate family, and I kept having these negative thoughts and things of what if, and it almost turned into a worry or an anxious time, and I personally said, no, those thoughts are not my thoughts. Those thoughts are not coming from the Lord, so there's only one way I know to get rid of them, and that's to rebuke the enemy and keep rebuking the enemy in the name of Jesus and go on in my day knowing that something good is going to happen. So for most people, it's probably hard to distinguish the differences between the voices. How would you explain how they are able to do that? I know you said you put them in their own separate corners, but if you were trying to explain that to somebody who is just coming in on our conversation, how would you do that?
Yeah, of course, I wrote a whole book to kind of answer that question.
You sure did.
Right, because there are some nuances. But yeah, so you do need to understand, the Bible says, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the spiritual forces of evil, you know, in this world. And so the idea of being able to take these thoughts captive, you need to understand what those hollow and deceptive philosophies are. And so I've outlined some of them in the book. We all know, but maybe we don't know what those different worldly voices might be, mm-hmm. those different philosophies. But the idea, you know, that I can have it all, or that if it's up to me, it's going to be, you know, the idea of if I'm really going to be important in this world, then I need to make a name for myself. I need, you know, performance is the way that we prove that we have value in the world. The gospel, of course, of Jesus has a very different report. In fact, my story would be that when I became a follower of Jesus, you know, I was running a big business and I could manage my life, but that's why I decided to follow Jesus, because I couldn't do it on my own.
Sure.
And I knew that I was saved by grace, Jennifer, but then I figured that it was up to me to prove that he had made a mistake. Well, why did I feel that way? Because of the worldly value of being in a performance-based culture.
Yeah.
If you're going to be somebody, you need to be able to perform and to make it happen. And so I began really working my fingers to the bone to prove that I was worthy. And then one day, 14 years later, I was writing a letter to God one morning. He said, God, I just can't take it anymore. I just need some relief here. Mm-hmm. And just like we're talking, the voice of the Holy Spirit said to me, Pat, nothing you do will ever make you good enough for me to love you. Mm-hmm. I love you because I made you.
Yeah.
And that was the first time, 14 years down the road, after becoming a Christian, that I actually understood grace for the very first time. Because the voice of the world was so strong in my head that I needed to perform to make God happy or avoid his wrath. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Definitely. Now, switching gears to the more positive voices that we hear, when we live in an attitude of gratitude, so to speak, how can that help us to hear more from the Holy Spirit's voice?
I'm working on this every day myself, but when we look at all the things, this is something not in the book, but I've been thinking about it here just recently. I just read that the observable universe, they now think, is 46.5 billion light years across. 46.5 billion light years. Okay, whatever, right? But so that means that our universe, our Milky Way, is like a speck of dust on the universe.
Yeah.
Our galaxy. And then our solar system is like a speck of dust on a speck of dust. And then our planet is like a speck of dust on a speck of dust on a speck. Anyway, you get the idea. So, here we are. We're such small people. And yet, God loves us with this everlasting love. He knows every word we speak before it forms on the tip of our tongue. He knows our thoughts from afar. He knows the exact times and places where we live. He has set those in place. Precious is in his sight is the death of his loved ones. And so this tender, loving care that God has for us, the only way to really understand all of this is to be immersed in the Word of God, and along with other believers too, so that we can see how other Christians, other fellow believers are interacting with him. Okay, I kind of got off track. Where do we go from here?
Tell us more where we can find your book, The Four Voices, Taking Control of the Conversations in Your Head.
Yeah, okay. Well, first of all, it's available everywhere. Amazon is, did you know 70% of all books get sold on Amazon? So it's on Amazon. Mm-hmm. And then you can also get it at maninthemirror.org. And by the way, if you're interested in men's discipleship, if you're interested in helping younger men, and particularly we're really focused on helping the younger generation of guys coming up, we have an initiative called Spiritual Fathers, which is underway right now. You can learn more about that. And then we have a very robust website, hundreds of articles on every potential topic you could search for, mm-hmm. anything you want. We have upward of 1,000 different video Bible study messages available online for free. And then, of course, this book, The Four Voices, Taking Control of the Conversation in Your Head. I'd love to engage with you guys more if you're interested. Contact us, send us an email, send me an email. Love to work with you in any way we can.
Wonderful. So the basis of the book is dealing with the voices in our head, particularly to the men. But would you encourage women to read the book as well?
Yeah, so I'm a men's author. That's my lane. But when I was writing this book, it was just very clear that it's very readable for, and well, it's important information for everybody. So I did write it in a way that's man-friendly, but also women would enjoy reading it
okay.
as well.
Okay, very good. So this morning, friends, we are talking to Patrick Morley, the author of the best-selling book, Man in the Mirror, with his new book, The Four Voices, Taking Control of the Conversation in Our Head. And for more information, if you'd like to look up his information, you can go to his website, maninthemirror.org. You can find his books pretty much anywhere, he said, Amazon and all of the other book distributors. We are here at the Positive Chats podcast. We are so thankful this morning, Patrick, that you have taken time to be with us and to speak to us about your book. We're going to encourage our listeners who have been listening to text in, and we have a book to give away this morning. So the first person to text book to this number, 419-240-1937, will receive a free copy of your book. Now, to that person who's going to be texting in and getting that book, what's one message you would want to tell them specifically right now?
Okay, well, it's going to be the same message every time. It's the greatest lesson I think I've ever learned. I'll share it with you. This is in the middle of a business crisis. I'm sitting around in the rubble of everything that's collapsing. Crisis of my own making, I might add. And this thought goes through my mind. Listeners, see if this doesn't make sense. There is a God we want, and there is a God who is. Mm. They're not the same God. And the turning point of our lives is when we stop seeking the God we want and start seeking the God who is.
That's
Does
great.
This make sense?
Yes, that's great news. Yes. Yeah. So congratulations to Becky in Fremont. She is our winner of that book. So would you like to say a greeting to Becky?
Becky, thank you for writing in, and I hope you enjoy the book, and I hope it blesses you and helps maybe clear up some of the questions you might have about the different voices in your head. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, friends, for joining us this morning on the Positive Chats podcast. Thank you, Patrick, for being with us. We look forward to speaking to you again and getting to dive into this book, The Four Voices, Taking Control of the Conversations in Your Head. Have a great morning, everybody.